AM Mobile.
Good morning, Andrew. KA3JCA, Bedmobile this morning.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Just looking out at the camera and how foggy it is outside.
That this morning.
An hour and a half. So.
Oh, boy, you're the first one I've heard in here.
Be along shortly, and then Patrick sometime after that. Unless he's got an early morning, which he'd already be on here if he did.
That had to get comfortable in the bed here again. Oh, yeah, I have one of those, like, metal trapeze. But, yeah, we heard Patrick, I think it was, let's see here, last week, I think once or twice, and then Ken, I think, once. So everybody, I think, should pretty much be back to normal this week, right?
I believe so. I believe the holiday's pretty much over, although we got what's coming up next Monday. I can't remember what it is. I'd have to look at my book and see, but since I'm driving, I can't. I just know we're shut down, not this Monday, but next Monday.
Monday, I think, is Martin Luther King Day.
Other than that, it should be fairly normal.
KN4 DFW Mobile.
Ken, KA3JCA in the group.
KO4 CEF.
How's everybody doing this morning? Had a good weekend there, Ken. Just telling Andrew that I've been up for an hour or so and looking at the camera and looking how foggy it is outside.
It's about maybe you can see a couple hundred feet.
About 100 yards, maybe.
Maybe.
Up a little early. That way she can leave a little bit earlier just to allow the distance. She's not an experienced driver when it comes to fog.
Well, around here, they just sleep in and then hammer down.
I mean, most of these foggy mornings is not the cars as much as the deer, because you can't, I don't think you'd be able to see them as well and get on the brakes in enough time.
Not Andrew. I wonder if those little things that you put on the front fender that kind of make a high pitch whistle, not so much that you or I could hear, but that the animals hear, and I wonder if that would stir them or spook them, or stir them up more, you know what I'm saying?
I don't remember. I swear I think it's either Mythbusters or somebody like that did a study on those and didn't really prove that they were any good, and I think, you know, even if they did work, you'd have to go a certain speed. You know, because that speed change, the pitch would change. I don't know. I think I'd heard or read something about it at some point in time that weren't really effective.
Younger, before I knew any better, I did a lot of late night traveling in rural Alabama, and I mean, there'd be 10 on the side of the road, and I'd never slow up.
Things on your fender, Ken, or no?
Nah, I didn't have anything on there. They just, you know, they would just look at you and continue eating.
Shirt Friday, you know, there's some nice wooded areas on the BMW's property. So when I'm coming out of the main plant, there's a wooded area between the Hall 52 exit and where the main entrance is to the plant. You come down a little hill, and there were three deer standing there right on the side in a little grassy area, just steady eating some grass. Slow down, I get to the stop sign, get out on the main road.
Or Disney, and you take the back roads in around the campgrounds, and I mean, because I guess it's such a friendly place, like you said, you see them on the side of the road, they wouldn't even budge. They'd just sit there and continue to graze. You could even slow down and stop and look at them, and they'd just stand there and stare at you.
KO4HKX. Mobile.
Nice call in the net last night. You did good, KA3JCA.
I appreciate that.
K4TFW.
KO4CEF. About
deer on the side of the road. That's every morning up here.
Chance of getting a couple of them to throw in the freezer.
That's last year, but the one I saw was, I don't know what it was. It looked too big to be a fawn, but it, man, it had spots on it. So I didn't shoot it. My dad thought it might have been a pie ball, but the ones that I've seen that are that, you know, they had the big white spots. I mean, it was just really weird. I mean, there was no other deer around either, so usually I thought I would have saw mama unless somebody took her out.
Never know with nature what it could have been. So, just enjoy the view. Get into this weekend.
Same, although he sold Boy Scout camp cards or adventure cards or whatever you want to call them, little coupon cards at Lowe's for a couple hours this weekend.
RV show, and we walked too far.
Senior Fours Friday night and stayed all day Saturday, and went to the flea markets over there and a couple other places, and yeah, like you could, again, I walked too far that day.
Yeah, Susan loves that flea market. KN4 TFW.
KO4CF.
Bunch of them and that, but we were just looking to see and then trying to decide what kind of camping we really would like to do. You know what I mean? If I get one that's any size where you're not claustrophobic, then you're committed to pull the truck.
Seen the off-road version of the pop-up campers?
Bunch of them there, but man, they were, some of them things, they were proud of them, boy. But we got a couple more. I want to look at one of them little A-frame type ones. You know, that might be the way to go, because you can pull it behind a Jeep.
World, this weekend, last week, I can't remember, but I stumbled across some pop-ups. So we had one before. It was Forest River 176 LTD or something like that. We paid, I think, right at $6,000. That's to add the air conditioner on. I found it on the Camping World. The 2023 model was like $12,000 or $13,000. So it's still about double in price of what I paid for it. God, however many years ago that was, I had pop up.
The ones that, you know, they have the off-road tires, and it's only 4 foot tall on the inside, just the bed and stuff like that. They're like $20,000+. But that's probably not happening.
2022 model for about $12,000 if you wanted a pop-up.
About just getting a little 4x6 pull behind utility trailer enclosed and just throw all the camping stuff in there, and that way it'd fit in the garage, you know what I mean, and out of the weather, and then we could just hook it to the Jeep and go. We have some of those. I just looked at some of them driving models, the ones that were the oversized vans, you know, that were converted, and man, some of those get 17 to 22 miles per gallon.
Much for them. That's all that gets me.
KT, good morning, guys.
KO4HKX.
KO4CEF.
Morning, Eric. KN4TFW.
Ken, Andrew, how you guys doing this morning?
Just making my way into the tool truck.
Yep, doing good over here, just fighting the fog.
The fog, doing good, but yeah, gotta watch the fog. It seems to be not quite as bad on 85 to hit certain spots.
Had coming down from Shelby this morning, but now that I'm on 85, it's pretty good. There's probably half a mile visibility, which is just fine.
See a camper that you really liked, but damn, the total length was 33 feet.
Can't pull that.
My camper is 35, and trailers actually get easier to tow the longer they get as far as maneuvering. Yeah, it's heavy and everything, but yeah, it's, I mean, a long trailer is actually not too hard to tow.
Any pull
pull it. I just had to have a different weight distribution hitch. Mine's only 800 pounds.
For mine, I think the pin weight is something like up to 1,200 on mine at full gross, but my 1,000-pound weight distribution is just fine with it.
We looked at some of those that were the off-road kind of pop-up type campers and that, but almost all of those had 2 5/16 balls on them.
See, I thought they'd have like one of those little teardrops for a quick getaway, but I don't see me and the wife and two boys in one of those.
Like 40 grand.
Market, the full campers actually get more expensive the lighter they get because the market is bigger. So, 5,000 pounds or less. For the big campers, they get a lot more affordable, because you got to have a big truck to pull them.
See up here that makes a canvas camper. You pull it, but it's got an aluminum frame and then it's got canvas inside of it. I'd have to look it up, and it's got a hard top if I'm not mistaken. But I'll look it up and see if I can't find it for you, but it's up here in Brevard, they make it.
And now you can get some information. Even those ones you put on the back of a pickup truck, man, those suckers are expensive.
I'm talking about it's made for pulling behind Jeeps and vehicles that can't handle a lot of weight, just small. They're pretty nice. I think they're kind of pricey, though, because of the everything that goes into them, but I'll have to look and see. I'll see what I can find here this week.
SW, I know when I was up in Alaska, they had it was like a utility trailer, like a 5x8, and the pieces folded out to the side to make a bed on each side, and it had a canvas, a heavy-duty canvas tent on it. It's like, man, that thing was awesome.
Thinking about one of those converted vans like you were talking about, the Class Bravo, but yeah, they on the Sprinter chassis, you can get some really, really nice campers that do get really good fuel economy, but man, you're right, they are expensive.
That's all there was it was on a Ram chassis. Didn't have a generator, and it was 99.
And for a Sprinter, the long chassis Sprinter with an onboard generator and all that, you'll spend $150,000 to $200,000 on those.
Yeah, you better not have more than two people.
Slide outs and all that kind of stuff on them either.
3,500-pound pulling capacity. And then it's like, man, that wouldn't even pull Susan's Jeep.
Maybe with the dual rear wheel, they'll typically have a higher towing capacity, but that's usually limited by the bumper weight because the van is already a lot more heavy, so then you have to worry about the rear axle weight rating.
In the parking lot, so we'll start my hike on in the plant. So y'all be safe out there this morning, and hopefully we'll holler at you whenever I get off work or tomorrow morning. KO4CEHIP, and I'll be clear on your final.
KO4HX, and I'm going to speak to Jump Scott.
W2JKT.
73 Andrew, KA3JC. And hello, good morning there, Patrick or Eric. Yeah, I sat back here and just listened to you guys talk about campers. When I was younger, I wanted one of those campers, and then I was going to get myself like a Winnebago style and then just tow a car, and then I never did it. So my goal was eventually just to retire and travel across the country, but needless to say, that never happened.
GFWQSY.
The repeater programmed in, so I'll be hanging out here when you guys get back. W2JKT.
I'm still here, Eric.
Yeah, I have a 35-foot travel trailer that I pull, and I bought it not really at the beginning of the pandemic. I guess the end of 2020 I bought it before the prices went crazy, and I thought I would do a lot more traveling because I was working at home. And then, I bought it in September 2020. I spent the winter kind of, like, practice camping at home and stuff. Then spring 2021 rolls around, and I'm ready to start traveling and working remote and everything, and then they called us all back in the office, so I didn't get to do my dream of traveling cross-country and working remote in various places.
Yeah, when I was in Florida, I wasn't married, but I was dating an ICU nurse, and she was looking at a camper, and then she decided against it. She worked at the local hospital, and of course, nurses, are, especially ICU nurses, make good money, but she did something which actually surprised me because, you know, she'd work like one or two days, like 12-hour shifts, and then she'd have two or three days off. So on her off days, what she would do is, like, keep one of them for herself, but she did travel nursing, and she did travel nursing within an hour's drive of where she lived, and the travel nursing pays you a not only a great rate, better than your local hospital, but it pays you the per diem of traveling to the area, and then they give you a stipend for living quarters or whatever. And so she'd work her shift, and she'd either sleep in her vehicle and get up the next morning and just shower at the hospital, or she would drive home and so forth like that. But she had her house, and she actually paid it off in under 15 years.
Except for hustling like that and getting the stuff paid for, because, you know, otherwise you just pay for it forever and ever and ever. I'm doing the same thing. I pay extra on my house every month just to try to get it paid off faster. And if I pick up an odd job here and there, like fixing computers or, you know, doing something for somebody, you know, I'll throw that money in there too. So, yeah, there's definitely something to be said for, you know, putting in the extra time when you're younger and, you know, getting your obligations taken care of.
That when I bought my house, we've actually been here since 2015, so, and it's funny, by just paying a little bit extra each month or adding whatever extra payment you can toward the principal, I've already knocked off like 7 years.
I typically do a 15-year mortgage anyway, but this recent move, I did a 30, just because it was an opportunity to get the house, and, you know, I didn't have all the cash squared away, but... yeah, I'm paying the extra on it, and I'll probably have it paid off in like 12 to 14 years, you know, if I keep on doing what I'm doing.
Now, what's your main KA3JC for ID? Did you ever get your technician guy to look at your filters on your radio?
Done that yet, and now that you mentioned that, I forgot to throw the filters in the car this morning when I left, so... I have the radio in the car, I just don't have the filters, but I'll probably have him remove the existing filters today, and I'll just have to remember to bring in the new filters tomorrow to have them put in.
Move and go ahead and clean it up and cut the board where you have to put that, where that DC biasing is, have him repair that.
Out of the work, rework instructions. I should note, though, I mean, even with this Yaesu, I'm still getting a lot of static crashes and stuff on receive. It's not nearly as bad as it is with the Kenwood, but, you know, with the Kenwood, you're probably down, you know, when those filters are cooked, you know, you're probably down 6 to 10 dB, so, you know, that could easily be the difference. It's certainly better with the Yaesu, but it's not perfectly clean.
I mean, there, so... Yeah, it's actually funny. I'm probably not going to take the plunge, but I actually started looking for an IFR service monitor. But I want to find something that does both analog and digital at the same time.
Monitor is definitely handy to have, but I'm not really that familiar with you know, features and models and stuff like that.
That I'm actually familiar with is the IFR 1200S. That one has the signal generator in it and the spectrum analyzer in it. It's just basically it's a small oscilloscope. The one that I had from when I was in Air Force Mars, I had like a big boat anchor 5 megahertz oscilloscope. But the one I really wanted, I worked for a guy, he had a 200 megahertz 4 probe scope, which was nice, so, but, like I said, that was when I was younger, and now a lot of that stuff, I mean, it's still large and expensive, so I just don't do it on a daily basis enough to pay for it. Or, you know, it'll pay for itself, but you just, you have to do a lot of work.
I know what you mean. I do a lot of kind of side work, you know, for electronics repairing and, you know, computer fixing and stuff like that. And, you know, I have a nice scope and signal generator and stuff for tracing out circuits and everything. And that stuff is expensive, but I don't know that I've even paid for it yet, but, you know, maybe eventually I will. I use the stuff a lot for work, too, so I kind of justify it that way. But, yeah, it's expensive to get into something like that, and, you know, you have to make sure you can, you know, it's either, you know, you have to either be okay with, you know, spending the money or make sure you get enough to pay for it. It's not easy to do all the time.
Well, I guess the reason I never did is, one, because of the cost, but I, at the same time, I have a lot of expensive hobbies. I mean, I got involved in the scuba diving, and that was kind of expensive to buy all the equipment and stuff like that. And I went all the way up through dive master and master scuba rating for Patty rating, and did all that. And then, of course, I got my private pilot's license, and I love to fly. I love to fly. Of course, when I lost the leg, that just ended a lot of it. I mean, I could have gone back up. I just had to have scheduled a flight physical there with my with an FAA examiner and an FAA medical examiner just to prove that I could still fly. And then, let's see here, photography was an expensive hobby with all the cameras and backdrops and lenses. And then same goes for ham radio. And then I got into hunting and fishing, and I have tons and tons of hunting equipment that I got rid of some of it. But then the fishing equipment, I got stuff, as you know, that's older than my grandfather.
About expensive hobbies, that's for sure. I you know, I have my private pilot as well, and I haven't been up in a long time, just because I look at it this way. You know, I can either fly, or I can have these 10 other hobbies, but I can't do them all. So you know, I've pretty much given up on the flying. I don't even think they make you renew your class 3 anymore. I think you can self-certify these days, but you know, I haven't gone back for a medical since like 2015. I haven't been current since 2016, I think, is when my last. I got a BFR in 2015 as well. So I was good until 2017, but I never kept it up after years pretty consistently. But just the money was getting too much, and I gave it up.
Back in 1979, I mean, I flew in 80 and 81, 82 and stuff like that before I lost the leg in 87. But I remember right after I got certified and so forth like that, I was up at the airport, and I figured, you know what, let me rent the plane. And I took the plane up. I was the last one to take off at Delaware Park in 79 and the first one to land for the new year. So just something I put in my logbook as a wanted-to-do type thing.
What did you take your training on?
When I initially got certified, I was a Piper Cherokee 140. And then they were switching over to the little Tomahawks because those, I think it was the Tomahawk, the one that had the parachute in it, because at that particular time they were having an increase in flying and students and planes going down or crashing or whatever. And so I think that was the one that you could pop the chute and safely land. And then, of course, I was real active in Civil Air Patrol, and I used to fly the 172 a lot. I like the Cessnas better than I do the Piper.
Definitely gives you a little bit better visibility when you're looking down. You know, if you're doing CAP and, you know, doing SAR or something like that, you know, you need to be able to look down at the ground. So, yeah, the high wing's a little bit better for that. From a maneuverability and performance standpoint, I've always preferred the low wing. They just always felt like they were more maneuverable, a little bit more nimble, a little bit more under control for me. But, you know, I took my training on a Cherokee 180. Well, it's a Piper Archer. You know, they change names and everything all the time. But it was basically a Cherokee 184 place, and it was a great plane. They had a regular set of steam gauges in the first one, and then the second one they switched over about halfway through my training, they switched over to a glass panel. It wasn't a G1000, but it was some other glass panel that they put in there. So I got to learn on both types, and it was a lot of fun. But, you know, nowadays I just have, I just downloaded X-Plane 12 for my PC, and that's a pretty realistic simulator, and I've, you know, been flying around in that. You know, the X-Plane 10, X-Plane 11, X-Plane 12, just been keeping up with that over the years. But just to stay, you know, current on procedures and approaches and stuff like that. So if I ever did go up again, I would at least, you know, remember what I'm doing.
It's been so long. I mean, I know what a sectional is. And then, of course, a lot of the FAA rules have changed, and, you know, the different control zones and the tier levels. Then since 9/11, I can only imagine all the changes you'd have to become familiar with.
Regulations definitely change over time. The changes for 9/11 weren't too bad. They really only affected you if you were flying into the D.C. area. They really did clamp down on VFR flight anywhere near Washington, D.C. So they created this ADIS zone around D.C. where you had to be flying on a flight plan and have a following and stuff like that. And, you know, you can only go in at certain points. You had to land at certain airports and, you know, do certain approaches and everything. And if you ventured, you know, 20 feet outside that corridor, you know, they'd be chasing you down. But, you know, even that's become a lot more relaxed now. I think you can fly VFR into Manassas. My brother-in-law and my sister live there near that regional airport. But yeah, if you're flying into Manassas, you can fly in on VFR if you come in at a certain, you know, on a vector and stuff like that. So it's not too bad. It's not too bad anymore.
Well, I'm not sure where you're at I-85, but I noticed that you're getting a lot scratchier. And it's starting to really picket fence there. KA3JCA.
Here near Greenville, Woodruff, I just passed exit 60, and for some reason there's just a lot of interference in this area. Between, you know, 54 and 48, I can't hear anything going on with the repeater because of all the interference, especially near the interchange at Woodruff Road. It's really bad there. It's so strong that it completely drowns out the repeater.
Yeah, I don't get out anymore, so I don't get to venture and see where those spots are there. I mean, I know where I live here, and based on the number of years I've lived here, it just seems like even over here where I am, I get a lot of interference. And also the weather, especially when there's moisture in the air and stuff like that, when it's foggy, I just seem to get a lot of picket fencing more so than I do on a clear, sunny day.
Definitely change it, especially if you are kind of on the hairy edge, you know, if you're on the outskirts, and, you know, that 3dB or whatever that can change by the weather will make a big difference.
Picture on the news of Pelham Road exit and 85 and how traffic is moving slow and it's so foggy up there.
85 or on Pelham Road?
85. I'm waiting for it to come back. It went to a commercial.
Because I just passed 58, and I think Pelham Road is 54. I don't see a slowdown on Google Maps. Maybe they've got some B-roll footage from before or something like that if there was a slowdown.
So hard because, like you say, they get up at 4 o'clock and they start putting all that footage together and get the news done, and you get a live broadcast, and then all of a sudden they, for like the next 2 hours or whatever, they seem to like replay it, and I don't think they get back on it. It could be at 6 o'clock or 6:30 would they come back on live again. I think that it's not a rebroadcast.
2 miles north of Pelham right now, and the fog is definitely thick. I mean, it's not awful. I mean, there's quarter to a half a mile visibility. Just passing the airport exit now. The traffic is moving. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's any heavier than it normally is, and it's moving the speed limit, maybe a little bit better. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens here in a couple minutes.
It's actually still on a commercial right now. I swear, that's something else. That, I mean, compared to 20, 30 years ago, when we had commercials, they just seemed to be short. Now you're trying to get like 5 or 6 to 10 minutes of commercials in between.
Like you got cut off.
here is it, I don't know what happened. But, yeah, I was just saying, it's still a commercial from what I told you a minute ago. It seems like commercials have gotten longer and longer compared to 30 years ago.
Yeah, I cut the cord when I moved to South Carolina, and I haven't had cable service since. The XYL and I, we are 100% streaming. But you can tell that there are more commercials because, you know, when we go watch a show on Netflix, you know, the episodes at one point used to be like 24, 25 minutes long, you know, because they had 5 or 6 minutes of commercials during the show. And now it's, you know, 22 minutes, and we've seen shows that were as short as 19 minutes per episode because they were running 11 minutes worth of commercials during the episode. So it's definitely gotten longer. Of course, we don't see all those commercials when we stream it, but, you know, I mean, still, I can't imagine sitting there trying to watch a half-hour-long show and only 19 minutes of it is actually the show.
Have the Internet through Spectrum, and like I said, I don't have the cable box, but I use the Spectrum app to watch TV, and I was actually having issues with it constantly buffering. And but yet, when I go to Netflix, Hulu, Paramount, PureFlix, Home, I can watch shows, and I never buffers one bit. And I've been calling about it. You know, their specific Spectrum watch TV app for a couple of years now. And when I did that a couple of years ago, they increased my internet speed to 400, saying that was the issue. And of course, they switched it. And it still kept doing it, and I finally called and was getting ready to cancel last week, and they actually lowered my cable bill a good $15 and upped my internet speed to 1 gigabyte, KA3JCA.
Had absolutely nothing to do with it. You know, streaming a high-def video stream is only a couple of megabits. So your 400 or your 200 or even, you know, I had AT&T in South Carolina, and I only had 24 megabits down, and that was still plenty to stream high-definition stuff from any of the service providers. So there's something just wrong with, you know, Spectrum distribution. But, you know, I can only imagine, you know, they're an internet company. They have no idea how to be a streaming company, and they're probably just not doing it right, you know?
So funny. Some people will listen, but I sit there and I try to give them an education about my background in electronics and the internet and the network, and, you know, and you try to explain to them that, hey, internet's internet. So why is it that your streaming keeps buffering, but none of the other networks do, and it's your same internet? It's your application that you're trying to do it, plus the trying to feed the channels onto that app. So, but needless to say, they always wanted their answer is, oh, let me send a technician out, or let's change your equipment out.
You stay on that merry-go-round forever and ever because they just don't know any better. And, you know, the people that you talk to on the phone, you know, they don't know any better, and they're not even empowered to, you know, push something up, you know. And it's just, you have to just, you know, you have to be really, really just ready to cancel. And even then, you know, they won't fix the technical issue. So, I don't know. I don't know what to do about it. I don't have any kind of streaming thing from Spectrum. I don't pay for cable or anything from them. We just have, I think, it's Netflix, HBO Max, Disney Plus, Hulu, and I think we pay for one other one that's mainly for the kids, and then I have to ask Courtney which one that is. But yeah, it's, I think we have 4 or 5 streaming services that we actually pay for, but none of them are Spectrum.
I kept it initially for the local because I did put up an HDTV antenna up on my mast, and it was working, and I'm not sure what's happened, but I just don't get the signals like I was for the local RF and so forth like that. I don't know if the amplifier that comes with the antenna has gone bad or what. I haven't had a chance to look at it. But that's why we did it, just for the local channels. But I end up finding myself more, my mobile company. They provide me with excuse me, I get Hulu free. And then again, we have Netflix and Disney Plus and Hallmark, and like I said, we have quite a few. And there's a new one. My wife likes to watch a lot of Christian shows, and we actually tried a new company called PureFlix, which has got some good movies on it, but it's not what we wanted to watch per se on that particular one, or the movies. You know, we have a lot of those already in stock that we've bought over years and have the DVDs for. KA3JCA.
KT. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, you know, everybody was talking about, you know, competition, why do you have to buy all these channels from the cable company? And so they broke everything out, and then you had to pay for HBO separately and Showtime separately. And now it's just kind of come full circle, except that you're having to pay for all these things over the internet as opposed to over a dedicated cable service. And that internet's coming over the same cable. So it's just, you know, the whole industry has just morphed into something new where you're still paying for everything separately. You're just not paying it to the cable company. So I don't know. I've never liked the model. I hate having to pay for all these different streaming services, but, you know, just to get essentially the same thing. And it's even worse when, you know, if you want to watch a particular show, that particular show may only be offered on one streaming service that you have to pay for. So, for example, if you want to watch Star Trek, you've got to buy Paramount. And if you want to watch this other show, you've got to buy CBS and all this other stuff. So I'm not a fan of that model either. I wish you could just, you know, make it easier, but I don't know. I still don't regret cutting the cord and not paying for stuff from the cable company. W2JKT.
Matter of fact, it's funny, and I'm trying to think what it is. I'm not sure if it's Paramount or Hulu, but I've actually found a couple of shows that I guess I missed because I didn't have the cable TV, or I just didn't watch the TV enough at that particular time. But I found some shows, and I'll find one that I like, and turns out it has like 5 or 6 seasons and like 22 episodes per season, and I'm able to catch up on the whole thing in about 3 or 4 days. So, but God, I was going to say something else too, and I forgot what it was. But if they keep it up, I told Sally I'm just going to go ahead and just keep the internet because I need it. But I'll definitely keep my streaming services. That's what it is. Like Disney Plus and Hulu and ESPN are all part of the same group. And like I said, I do have Paramount and stuff like that. So some of them are doing where if you subscribe, you also get like Showtime now. So it just depends on which ones you decide to go with.
And you want consolidation now so you can get those multiple platforms with one fee, because, you know, if you pay the $20 for, service A, but you get service B and C with it, that's not so bad, but you need more consolidation for that to happen. So I don't know. I think we're heading for some kind of correction along those lines, because people really are getting sick and tired of having, you know, $300 a month in various cable, internet, and streaming services. And something's got to change, and, you know, especially with the economy kind of turning down and, inflation hitting everybody. People are definitely going to be cutting back, and the industry is going to have to change the way it does things.
Definitely, I agree with you. Well, you know, something else, too, that I explained to the lady is that, you know, you're selling me a package, and I would say 2/3 of the package that you're selling me, number one, I don't watch because it's at Home Shopping Network, QVC. I have a couple of channels that I watch for news, but, you know, I'm not interested in a lot of the C-SPAN or CNN or, you know, a lot of, I mean, I get, there's like 20 different freaking news channels on there. And I mean, when something's important, I watch and get my information, you know. it's only as accurate as the company is that's willing to report it properly, I guess I should say.
Playing in the 80s, right? Why do I have to pay for all these channels that I don't want? Breaks out all the cards. And so they did, and then, Showtime was $20, and HBO was $20, and Cinemax was $20, and all the other things were $20 or $30. And, cable bills actually went up significantly when they did that. Like I said, we have the services we have mainly for the kids. I think if it were just the two of us, we would probably only have Netflix and maybe Hulu. The Disney Plus is definitely for the kids. And I forget which even other one I mentioned that we're paying for, HBO. But anyway, I'm getting out here to 44. I'm going to look for a nature break here. I've had a little bit too much coffee and soda this morning. So I'll have a great day. And hopefully, when everybody comes back, you can tell my say hello. This is WTJKT.
Yeah, you have a wonderful day there, sir, and I'll probably catch you on the way home, sir. KA3JCA is clear.
73 W2 JKT clear.
4ZLK. Shane, you there this morning? KA3JCA. KA3JCA QSY.
The DLT portable.